Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Parents Night In.
It's Parents Night In. It's Parents Night In.
They just heard that.
I know.
It is catchy, though, isn't
it? It's stuck in my head.
Stuck in everyone's head.
We didn't hear it, but it's stuck in my head.
I dare say, the hottest show on YouTube right now. Is that hyperbole?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Does hyperbole mean false?
Anyway, it's me, Justin.
And me, Kelly.
And tonight, we have a treat for you. We're watching an absolute classic film from this century, known as American Psycho.
Oh, Jesus. There's blood already.
This is the film that made me, I don't know about you, but it made me fall in love with Mr. Christian Bale.
Well, this was like my third Christian Bale movie. Mm-hmm. If I count Newsies and Little Women, I think
That's
this is my third.
Right. Yep.
I don't think I saw anything else with him in it before that.
I had seen Little Women, but did not remember Christian Bale at all from that movie. And when the trailer for this came out, I was like, what the hell is this? Because this looks like it could be really stupid.
American Psycho?
Yes.
Yeah.
They show him, you know, like killing people, but at the same time cracking jokes and stuff. I'm like, there's something wrong with this movie. And then I saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is fucking incredible.
So I saw this movie on your recommendation before we were officially dating.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is a big departure from the roles that I had known him from. Because I fell in love with him at 12 when I watched Newsies. And then when I saw Little Women, I was like, oh my God, it's the guy from Newsies. And I was, you know, enamored. And then I watched this and for about 10 seconds, I was like, wow, he's really hot. And then he scared the bejesus out of me.
Started murdering people.
And it was over.
I'm going to say this. No one's going to believe me. But I have a friend, Dan, who knows this is fucking true because we talked about this. After we saw this movie, both my friend Dan and I were like, Christian Bale should be Batman the next time they make a Batman movie.
Was the movie that made you think that?
Yes. Because he's this like upscale rich guy, but he's also crazy and capable of doing anything. Hmm. And I was like, he's fucking Batman. And then 3 years later, it was announced that he would be playing Batman. I was like, oh my God. Did they read my diary? Anyway, so in this scene, it's Patrick Bateman and his three scumbag friends eating at a swanky restaurant before going out to the nightclub scene and trying to hook up with babes.
They're all dropping their platinum cards. They have $50 bills in their billfolds.
This movie, for those of you not familiar, takes place in the late 80s during basically the height of Reaganomics, when status was everything.
Oh, there's a woman, Charlie's angeling on the wall in the club.
Having money meant that you had the keys to the kingdom. And as this movie will comment on, all these guys, these materialistic guys, were interchangeable to the point that they couldn't even tell each other apart. What are you drinking tonight, Kelly?
I'm going the vodka soda cranberry root.
You are not fucking around.
No. Well,
sister.
Know, it's nice and low in carbs, and I got to go to the gym in the morning, so I got to be careful.
This is Patrick Bateman's apartment, his sterile, all-white Manhattan uptown apartment.
He's walking around in his tidy-whities. This was the part where I was like, okay, yeah, I can get into this movie, all right. He's got his undies on, he's looking pretty good there.
And I was saying, I'm very confused, right now.
Christian Bale is my male competition. If such a thing exists, he's it.
If I had to switch teams...
He's putting his...
Christian Bale would be the guy to do it.
He's got a nice butt.
Christian, I love you.
Okay. All right. Let's tone it down, Ballard.
Wait, what?
You're sitting next to your wife on the couch.
Sorry.
What are you drinking tonight, sir?
I'm drinking a red wine called Harmonic Bridge.
Harmonic Bridge?
Yeah. It's pretty good. Not too shabs. It's a red blend. I don't remember what they call it.
Well, it's Parents Night In, so we got to be fancy. Look at the fancy wine. We got the vodka cran.
We're doing all right.
We're doing it.
We're watching upscale yuppies from the 80s.
He's putting on his gel mask. He always uses an aftershave
with
lotion.
With little to no alcohol, because alcohol dries out your face and makes you look older. What happens if you drink the alcohol, though? Does that dry out your face?
I don't think it's
Let's find out. Let's find out together.
Oh, okay. The soundtrack in this movie is fantastic.
Great. Yep.
And we're listening to I'm Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
I have never known who did this song.
Katrina and the Waves.
So we'll find out if you're right. We'll find out when we add pictures.
How about we'll find out because I'm going to pick up my iPhone.
No. Don't correct yourself, because if you're wrong, I want the images to reflect that you're wrong. Like in the Dirty Dancing
episode. But I'm right.
Because that was funny.
That was bad.
Here's Patrick arriving at work, talking to his secretary. He basically does nothing at this job because his dad is a higher up in the company. So he's the beneficiary of nepotism. And he looks strikingly like Don Trump Jr. Look at the hair.
His or hers?
His.
Yeah,
his. The 80s hair that's really long in the back.
That's Chloe Savini, right?
Chloe Savini, yeah. Who holds a pen like that?
Oh, yeah, that's a weird pen hold. Make sure you get a clip of that.
Yeah, I will. That's freakish. Is she a squid?
He just stopped her and said, don't wear that outfit again. In Harvey Weinstein's world, we can't do that anymore. This is it. But it's some of the shit that happens in this movie is insane. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously an insane movie, but even like the pedestrian
that happened,
shit.
That happened back then.
I'm sure it still happens now.
Probably, but it was very acceptable back then.
He's in a cab with Reese Witherspoon, listening to his headphones and like ignoring her and berating her. And
that's his fiance, by the way.
Oh yeah,
and he has no passion for her at all. She's strictly a status symbol, wearing a gigantic fur coat.
Can we note the fact that she has literally not aged since this movie? Mm. What a bitch!
Also, she was pregnant in this movie.
Was she really?
Yep, that's why she's wearing gigantic coat.
What year is this?
It came out in 2000, but it was shot in 99.
So that was after Cruel Intentions, and she's pregnant with Philippe?
Hank Philippe Ryan?
Oh, I had no idea.
His friend Bryce, played by Justin Theroux, is banging his fiance, but he, Patrick Bateman, is banging Samantha Mathis's character, who was engaged to somebody else.
Who was also in Little Women.
Samantha Mathis, yes.
He married her in Little Women.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They got a thing. He's into redheads.
Yay, for me.
Stay away from him, he's mine. And this is Lewis Carruthers, who secretly has a thing for Patrick Bateman. Because who doesn't?
Is his connection because he's a Wall Street guy?
Yes.
And is he with Samantha Mathis?
He works in, yeah, they're engaged. And here he is, claiming his first victim of the film. Hello. Is this how you hit on women? You just walk up sort of behind them and go like, hello.
If you're like super Christian Bale hot, maybe.
Apparently it worked, because he took her home and then did things.
And then murdered her. Which is why most women, when guys do that, don't say, okay, I'll go home with you. They say, you're probably going to murder me. I'm good.
Oh, this scene is great. He's arguing with his dry cleaner about his bloody sheets. If you don't shut your fucking mouth, I will kill you.
He's in there with his leather gloves. He's got a cigar in his hand. He's waving his hands around. He's got a vein popping out of his head.
And then this woman walks in, some acquaintance of his, and he can't remember her name. So he just mumbles something approximating her name, which I only found out because I read the book, and he says that so-and-so walks into the dry cleaners, and I can't remember if her name is Stephanie or like Bethany or whatever. Mm. So I say something in between. And in the movie, he's like, hello.
She's trying to make plans with him, and he's showing her the bloody sheets, and she's like all concerned.
Well,
he says it's cranapple, and she kind of like looks like she doesn't get it.
Oh.
She's like, I don't know if that's true. Let's go out.
Yeah, I still want you.
This is the effect he has on women.
Oh, it's impressive.
And apparently some men, like the bald guy sitting next to me.
Shut up.
He's watching porno. I think it's funny when it's called porno. Oh my God, he has a porno mag.
Oh my God, he's watching inside Lydia's ass.
Oh my God.
That sounds like a quality
That's
production.
That's what it's called? Yeah. That's officially porno. It's better when you use the Boston accent too. You have to. He porno. Has a porno mag. He's watching a porno video.
Oh my God, he's watching Beva. We should talk about the book. I know you have not read the book.
But I don't plan to ever read the book.
The book is one of the sickest fucking documents I have ever laid my eyes on.
What I want to know is how somebody read something that sick and said, let's make a movie out of this, and how they managed to pull it off.
It's pretty amazing. Okay, so this movie was originally going to be an Oliver Stone film starring Leo DiCaprio.
Mm. Before you go there, who's laughing on the phone?
Why? He's calling Dorcia to try to make a reservation for tonight.
Right.
And they're like,
I don't care who you are.
We're booked, asshole.
Okay. Go on.
Thank you. Anyway.
Thank you.
So originally it was going to be Oliver Stone directing and Leo DiCaprio starring, which is interesting because Leo DiCaprio was later in The Wolf of Wall Street, which is kind of a similar character, just not without the murder. And then I don't remember who dropped out first, Oliver Stone or Leo. But they both dropped out, and then Mary Harron took over. And honestly, a woman really had to direct this movie to make it work.
So this is a woman director?
It's a woman director. Because if a guy directed it, it would come off as like misogynist and horrible and...
And almost like
gratuitous.
Fantasy porn?
Yes.
Revenge porn kind of thing? Yeah.
Torture porn.
Yes, thank you.
The murder scenes in the book are so graphic, it's like shocking even to someone like me who has read and seen just about every type of
horror, whatever. This is like right up Justin's alley. It takes a lot for me to watch a movie like this. When I first watched it, I watched it by myself in a dark room and then said, why did I do that? I'm a little scared now. But, so I'm like a wimp.
So Mary Harron,
Justin is not.
Sort of boiled everything down to its essence. And the essence of the story is toxic masculinity, really.
Uh-oh.
And that's...
Your Star Wars friends are going to come yell at you.
Oh, fuck them. That's really what the movie's about. And she toned down, obviously, the murder scene so that they were...
Rateable.
Palatable.
Yeah.
Because it's shocking.
Here's Jared Leto.
Jared Leto.
Looks just like Patrick Bateman in the scene.
So, okay. So the whole thing about them mistaking each other for each other starts right here because Jared Leto's character mistakes Patrick Bateman for Marcus Halberstam and he calls him that throughout their time together.
And he doesn't correct him.
No, because it's a regular thing. Like they all.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They have the same glasses.
Well, and they're all schmoozies and.
They have the same hair. Got an 830 res at Dorsia. This movie is one of the most quotable films of all time, by the way.
Really?
Yes. There's so many quotable lines in this movie.
Did they just talk about sea urchin ceviche?
Yep. New card. Here's where they compare business cards as though they're measuring dicks.
And they all look exactly the same.
Yes, that's the joke.
To the naked eye.
Except that they're all like, oh my god, his card's better than mine. What am I gonna do? Fuck.
And they're bragging about the different
colors
fonts. And the weight and the thickness and the color and...
That's bone. The lettering is something called Cillian Rail.
And Patrick Bateman is literally like... He's like seething. If this was a really bad 80s show, his fists would be pumping and he would be grinding his teeth really loudly and going... Rrr, rrr. That's what it looks like.
Did guys actually hand out business cards like that?
I'm sure that they did.
To the point with their status symbols. There's Paul Allen's card. It's a gorgeous card. Patrick is basically wetting himself right now because Paul Allen's card is so much nicer than his.
So much nicer than all of the identical cards. Yeah. It's like the AC/DC.
It's the AC/DC of business cards. It's the one AC/DC song that sounds just like all the others, but is somehow better. So in this case, it would be For Those About to Rock, We Salute You.
Oh, I don't know.
For all of you AC/DC fans
out
there.
Back in Black is
my... Now,
some people would argue Shook You More All Night Long.
People listening to this. Or watching this, vote in the comments which is better, Back in Black or For Those About to Rock.
Back in Black!
You will decide our fate.
Now he's going to kill a homeless guy. This scene makes me so sad.
Especially for the dog.
Oh, I forgot about the dog.
Is it like weird that I feel more upset about the dog getting killed?
No, a lot of people feel that way when they watch movies.
It's so weird.
I think because
the dog
in movies
know.
You expect people to get killed. You don't expect it for the animal. And no one ever wants to see that happen to an animal.
The animal never hurt anybody.
Because people deal with animal deaths, but those are animal deaths where it's the animal gets old and then it dies.
Right.
This is cruelty.
Yeah.
Not that it's not cruel to kill a person.
Oh, of course it is, but get a goddamn
job, he's like berating the crap out of this poor homeless guy.
Yeah.
Then he kills him and he kills his dog and it makes me so sad. I am literally... This is why I'm a wimp and I can't watch these movies. Like, my empathy levels go up to the roof and I go to sleep like that poor homeless man now dead and he never existed.
All you have to do is get to the closing credits where they say no animals were harmed in the making of this film. He didn't actually kill the dog.
Well, what about Al? There's no credit that says owls were harmed in the making of this film.
Kelly, Al lived for another like 18 years. This actor just died recently.
Who is that?
I forget his name. He's that guy. He was in Seven...
I don't know who he is.
He's in Airheads.
This guy is totally still alive. I don't know. There's a movie that I watched.
Killed a man and his dog and just walks away.
So rude. He's just a rude guy.
And now he goes and gets a massage that probably includes a happy ending. Glad you're having a good day, Patrick.
Now Al and his dog are dead.
Oh, fucking prick. They're at Texarkana, which is completely empty.
It also has a menu that is basically made out of rope and wood.
This place is hot.
Mud soup and charcoal arugula.
What exactly is mud soup? Is that a real dish?
I've never heard of mud soup.
Doesn't sound
appetizing. Nor have I heard of charcoal arugula. Although, charcoal, you know, it's going through its trend right now. People are brushing their teeth with activated charcoal. And it's supposed to make them... You haven't seen this?
No.
Turns your teeth black, but it's supposed to actually be super whitening. I have no idea if
that's
I believe
it. That's fucking weird.
Apparently that's people are like drinking activated charcoal or something.
That's like the way out is through. You have to blacken your teeth to get them white again.
Mm.
The night is darkest just before the dawn of teeth.
It was so bad, it was good.
Yeah.
That didn't deserve a laugh.
No, it didn't.
You're welcome.
Sure got one.
Yeah, you're welcome. High five. Yeah, ooh.
Here he's getting Paul Allen shit faced so he can take him home and have his way with him in a different way than one would think.
When I say have his way with him, I mean with a knife.
Instead of splitting his ass open, he's going to split his head open.
Jesus, Justin.
Axe. This Huey Lewis monologue in the book, this is an entire chapter. He just does a chapter about Huey Lewis and then another chapter about Whitney Houston and another chapter about...
In a row?
No. Scattered throughout the book.
In order of the story.
But he's got three music tirades. Phil Collins. He's got three music tirades that are entire three, four page chapters that are basically these speeches. But
interesting. In chapter, but longer.
It's bizarre.
Is it in first
person? The whole book is in first person.
Okay.
Except there's a section toward the end where it's in third, it becomes third person.
Who's the third person?
It's him, but he's narrating his actions in the third person as though he's no longer in control.
Oh, okay. Well, makes sense. Hip to be square. Oh, yep. I love this song. Another good soundtrack song. He's dancing funny with his clear raincoat on.
All hey,
of his
Paul!
Furniture's covered.
And that was part of his motivation, is that Paul Allen was able to get a reservation at Dorsia. That and the business card. And he had to kill him over it.
So he's freaking out. His face is covered in blood. His hair's a mess.
But he had the raincoat on, so his clothes are cool.
It's going to take a lot of face wash to get the gel mask
also,
and stuff.
Also, I don't believe he drew the curtains, so this window is pretty visible.
Everyone is so self-absorbed there. Yeah. They're not looking in his windows. He's dragging a body out.
He's dragging a body out with a trail of blood the doorman does not notice whatsoever.
The doorman looks up and looks right back down at his paperwork like, oh, yeah, no blood on the floor. Bad continuity here, though, because there's no blood behind him.
There's no blood, And there's Lewis Carruthers with some woman.
And he's admiring his quote-unquote overnight bag.
The overnight bag, not the body inside of it.
Right. Where did you get that overnight bag in which it seems you have a body?
Here's the one, what's the opposite of contemporary? Hasta la vista, baby, he says. And that's a Terminator 2 reference, which is 4 years after this.
Uh-oh.
So that is inaccurate.
Nice going.
Nice going, Mary. You fucked it up.
Lady in red. Oh my God.
It should also be noted that the script was at least co-written by a woman.
Oh, really?
Guinevere Turner. She was in Chasing Amy and Dogma in small roles. And she's also in this. She's his friend from college that he ends up killing her. But she co-wrote the screenplay. Ah, here's Willem Dafoe. So Batman, the Joker, and the Green Goblin are all in this movie.
Hmm. Willem Dafoe looks surprisingly uncreepy in this movie. Mm. I mean, he's still a little creepy, but for the most part.
Well, it's interesting.
He looks normal.
Willem Dafoe, a naturally very creepy looking dude, is a police detective who's just investigating Paul Allen's disappearance, and he's super friendly. But at the same time, to Patrick, he's oh shit.
Right.
He's creepy because he's on to me. Maybe. Right. I don't know what to do. So you're not sure if Willem Dafoe is being genuine or not, so that makes him creepy.
Right. Well, that's... Yeah.
It's interesting casting. It's like a double bluff, almost.
Right. Well, yeah, because...
He's creepy because he's not creepy.
Some actors could not pull that off.
Yeah.
And Willem Dafoe is able to do it because he looks creepy enough.
Well, and it's also...
That even when he's being genuine, it's still kind of but is he? I don't know.
Because it's all from Patrick's point of view.
Correct.
So it's pretty genius casting, actually. Patrick is just sort of trying to bluff this cop because no one really knows where Paul Allen is. And the cop is like, I've heard that he might be here. But no one's really sure because he looks exactly like all of you people.
Which I love. But,
Of you could be Paul Allen for all I know. I could be talking to Paul Allen right now. Who knows?
The impression that I got the first time I watched this was he was totally on to him the second he walked through the door.
Mm.
So to me... He always had him.
Yeah, it seems like he totally has his number.
Immediately.
And now he's rented a limo and he's picking up a woman of the night.
That's one of my favorite terms ever.
For some...
Lady of the evening is another good one.
Lady of the evening for some extracurricular activities that are otherwise known as illegal.
That are otherwise known as murder.
Well, we'll get to that. But initially, just looking for some fun.
Why does she say I'm not supposed to? What is she supposed to do? Get in the car and then get out?
I think she's looking at her pimp, who's probably nearby, for approval. And the pimp is probably like, go, bitch. Be cool, bitch.
I mean...
What?
So he picks her up, and he tells her that he's Paul Allen. He makes sure that he repeats it a few times.
Yes.
Because this is his alibi. That's an interesting tub.
Yeah.
He's got a nice tubby. He gives her some Chardonnay.
If he's calling himself Paul Allen, why doesn't he take her to Paul Allen's apartment? I mean, I guess she won't necessarily remember where his apartment is exactly, but should have just called himself Halberstram. Mm.
He's
giving her a tub.
Yeah, he's making her take a bath.
She's probably not clean, being a lady of the evening.
She's cleaning the evening off of herself.
Dry off. Get that evening off your stuff.
Choose a robe. He says he has multiple robes to choose from. Well, I want to go there and take a bath. No, I don't want to go there. Maybe in jail.
You'll be able to take a bath. You won't come out.
That's not the kind of bath I want.
Here's the call girl he hired, except she's not blonde. She's a redhead. And she's not pleased that he has pointed out that she is not blonde. She's like, what the fuck? Sabrina, he calls her. Sabrina and Christy.
Yeah, he gives them names.
He gives them names because they're playthings to him. And here's the most awkward small talk. No, I don't care what you do, Paul.
Don't you want to know what I do? Nope.
And he's like upset that they don't want to know what he does because like him working on Wall Street is...
Well, that's a big deal to
it's
him.
It's like his identity.
Yeah. Even though, and they're probably like, no, we don't because we know you work on Wall Street.
Or they're like, we don't care because we're just here to screw and get our money and then go home. I use that line a lot with you.
Yeah, every time I don't drink my wine, he says, that's a very fine Chardonnay
you're not drinking. And here's the
and
second...
And I say, Jesus, leave me alone.
Here he's getting the video camera out because he wants to record this for amusement later. He asks Sabrina to dance. She's like, what? And she's dancing very sort of half-assedly. She's like, oh, this is weird. This has gotten weird. I don't like this anymore. Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it. And Sabrina's like, oh, no. She still has evening on her.
How come she didn't have to take a bath?
Some of this scene in the theatrical version got cut because they had a problem with him, like, fucking in front of the mirror or something. The murder's fine, though.
Yeah. It's chop people to bits, and it's cool.
It's part of the hypocrisy of the ratings board that, like, violence is fine, but...
But sex is not.
Sex is not.
Yeah. He's, like, telling him to look at the camera.
And Sabrina's really uncomfortable with all of this.
And Christy's like, hey! Hey, hey, hey! Hi, camera! She didn't actually say that. So, but she looked happy.
Now they're lying in bed, and he wakes up, and he's got a drawer full of weird tools that he's going to somehow use on them, and it's not clear how... And in the book, they don't talk about it either. Like, he opens the drawer, and then they cut to the next chapter or whatever.
Well, and clearly they just, you know, they're leaving it up for interpretation.
It's all very implied, but...
But there's a lot of weird shit in there. It's like...
There's hangers and scissors
like
and scalpels.
Like, tooth pullers and...
Yeah, pliers.
I call them tooth pullers. It looks like the kind of pliers you use to pull a tooth. They look like the kind of pliers you would pull a tooth with.
I guess.
They're not like... Handyman pliers.
So Sabrina's got a bloody nose and scratches. Maybe she's missing some teeth. Who knows?
She looks like she's crying.
Yeah.
Christy just kind of storms out. She's like, give me the money, you asshole. Goodbye. But Sabrina's clearly like traumatized. Yes. And Christy's just like, oh, fuck, another one of these
Sabrina
guys.
Must have been very new.
Yeah.
So now they're at a cigar bar, a very male-centric cigar bar, talking about how they don't like women, basically. Louis Carruthers has unveiled his new card.
Which is even better than
Which
Paul
is
Allen's.
Nicer than everyone's. It's incredible. It's got different colors. And Patrick is so upset. Oh, I gotta kill Lewis.
Lewis is all, my cards are fabulous. He looks so like content with himself.
Yep.
He like gives them this little smirk and then like sort of spins on his heel.
My card's better than yours.
And he's like walking, but he's walking away with the card in his hand, like as if other people in the bar might catch a glimpse of it.
Like they're gonna be like, oh my god, is that your card? And now he's going into the bathroom, putting on gloves because he's gonna strangle Lewis while he pisses.
And little does he know, Lewis is gonna turn around and try to make out.
Little does
he
know, Lewis wants to be strangled by Patrick.
Lewis is like, I hope he follows me into the bathroom because my card is amazing. And then we make out. He feels hands on his shoulder.
He's like,
instead of turning around in a panic, he turns around like, I knew you wanted me.
Do you think he zipped up before this?
Doesn't seem like it.
He was at the urinal, and it would stand to reason that his pants are still open at this point. And Patrick's like, oh my god, this went weird.
And you can see, like, Patrick is immediately sweating and nauseous and not at all okay with this.
He was like, I was just coming in here to murder somebody. I wasn't expecting to get kissed by a dude. This is wrong.
Yeah. And he washes his leather gloves. Because, like, come on.
Because that's worse than having blood on your face, apparently.
I've got to return some
another catchphrase. I have to return some videotapes. He reacts like Ace Ventura when finding out that Finkel is Einhorn.
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn.
I expect to see Patrick Bateman chewing 4 packs of bubble gum.
And crouching in tears in the shower listening to The Crying Game.
Yeah.
Oh, the cop's back.
Oh my God. The Green Goblin has returned.
The Green Goblin has returned.
Get back in your own movie, Goblin!
He's talking to Chloe Savini.
You're a Marvel character. I think I was returning videotapes. I love how he uses videotapes as like that's an activity.
His alibi, yeah. So we had the video store. And the video store was 2 miles away. But the people that were, they did like the lottery counter at the video store, went and opened their own store and called it Butts and Bets. And it was a mile away from home. It was the best day ever.
They should have called it the video store, but closer to Kelly.
Again, not supposed to be funny. So now he's back at the office. He's got like this lock of blonde hair.
Did he cut off some broad's head?
He just shoves it in his pocket when Chloe Savini comes in.
Patrick asks his assistant out for dinner, and she is very happy to oblige, except that's very inappropriate.
And he asks and then where she wants to go, and she thinks for a really long time.
She goes, how about Dorsia? And he's like, fuck, I can't get a reservation at Dorsia. Damn it. Christ, Jean. No, Dorsia's good. I'll call up and pretend to have a reservation at Dorsia. I'm just going to kill you anyway. Interesting postscript is the author of the book later...
Killed a bunch of women?
No. After the movie came out, wrote a quasi-sequel, but it was all in the form of like online entries, like on a website, where Patrick and Jean end up getting married for a while and then divorce. It takes place like 20 years later or something. And he stopped killing and he's just married to Jean and is really unhappy. And then they get divorced, but they have a kid together or something. Interesting sort of sequel. So he's got Jean at his apartment and she's eating some sorbet and he's trying to decide how to kill her and he can't quite come up with it.
I mean, if the policeman comes back to interview him and his secretary's dead, that's not going to go well for him.
That doesn't look good for him.
No.
Suspicious. Such a strange conversation that he's trying to have with her to get her to talk so she's not focusing on the fact that he's grabbing duct tape and nail guns and knives.
From his stainless steel cabinets.
Oh my God, Jean, how could you put the spoon on the table? The glass table. You realize that glass cannot be scrubbed. Wait.
They don't even have a thing called Windex. Oh, wait, they do have Windex.
Yeah, they have that too. Shit.
So she's asking him, have you ever wanted to make someone happy? And he's all, yes. I don't know, should I murder you?
I have wanted to make this nail gun happy.
Phone rings and Chloe Savini is saved by the bell.
Literally. And it's his fiance, and she's like, you have a fiance, that's right. Whoops. I knew that. I shouldn't even be here. Why am I here? What am I doing with my life, Kelly?
And he just, like, drops the nail gun and goes and sits down like an emasculated man.
He hates his fiance so much that her voice makes him cringe.
I have no right to ask that. Except that we're on a date.
Except that we're on a date in your apartment, and your fiance just called. I should maybe ask about that. Is that your fiance? Does she know that I'm at your apartment?
Does she know that we're on a date? Should I pick up the phone and tell her?
Yes, this is Jean. Get me out of here, Evelyn. Call the police.
She doesn't want to get bruised. Honey, you stick around long enough.
You're fixing to get more than bruised, lady.
Yeah. She's one of the lucky ones because she got away.
And here he is having dinner with the Green Goblin. And the Green Goblin is totally on to him, except maybe not.
I think the Green Goblin's totally onto him. I always...
No.
He's like clumsily putting salt all over his steak. He's clearly sweating. If I were the Green Goblin, I would totally have his number because he looks so friggin' guilty.
Because he's sweating.
He's sweating and he's shaking.
Oh, there he goes. Where were you?
Another reason why I feel like he has him.
No, he doesn't have him. He completely does not suspect anything. That's the thing.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like he has him the whole time.
Well, then why doesn't he arrest him?
I don't know.
He doesn't have him. He's clueless. Like, the whole time you think he's got the drop on him, but he doesn't. It's just, no one can tell these guys apart. They all think, oh, I was with this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. Oh, okay. That's good enough for me. Now he's going to pick up Christy again.
Christy sees the limo and she's like, oh, shit.
She should have just said no.
He says it won't be anything like last time. Because you're going to be dead. You're not going to go to emergency.
You're not going to go to emergency.
You're not going anyways.
Right. You're going to go home in a bag.
And when I say home, I mean the river.
When I say home, I mean the funeral home.
Did they ever? Jesus.
A lawyer. We don't need to involve a lawyer, do we? I can give you $1,000 or so. You're never going to cash this check anyway.
If I were Christy, I would have gone in the other direction.
Yeah, just turn around.
Because the limo's following her with dollars.
Does she need the money that badly? Here he is at Paul Allen's apartment with his friend, played by Guinevere Turner, and he's about to slip them roofies. Guinevere Turner, who thinks that...
She helped to write the script.
Yep. She slipped some roofies in their Chardonnay. Kelly, where do you summer?
Here.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I summer 500 feet from here at our pool in the backyard.
I don't think that's 500 feet.
I don't know about feet.
500 inches, maybe.
How far is 500 feet from here? The end of the street.
Down the street.
Apparently, I'm not very good at feet.
Wow. Or numbers. Oh, she is not in the mood for a lewd conversation, but she will be in a couple of minutes when that roofie kicks in. You're not drinking your wine, Christy. Come on.
And Christy's like, I learned that lesson, dum-dum.
I learned that lesson. This wine smells bad.
And now the girls are doing their thing. He's kind of watching.
He's just talking about Whitney Houston. There's chapter 3 of the music. Mm. What's interesting about this scene is the actual Whitney Houston song is not in the scene. It's like...
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing Whitney Houston...
They couldn't get the rights?
Didn't want to lend her music to a movie about a guy murdering women.
Well, yeah, kind of like playing your, like, playing her song while he's murdering a
Patrick
chick.
Patrick B? Patrick P?
Billy Ray? Patrick B?
Shoop?
Billy B?
Take my song out. Shoop.
That's our really bad version of Maya Rudolph doing Whitney Houston. Justin Ballard doing Maya Rudolph doing Whitney Houston.
And here's Patrick Bateman doing Guinevere Turner doing Christy. And he's about to kill them both. And Christy's like, get me the fuck out of here. This is just, I don't like it. I don't like it anymore. This is where it went bad the last time.
Maybe if he's busy with the redhead, I can take
off. She's trying to sneak out. Yep.
She should have just gone without the clothes. Just go.
Yeah, fuck the clothes. Oh, there's blood on the sheets. Get out. Get out. Jesus, what are you doing?
So she sees blood on the sheets. He comes out of the sheet. He's got blood on his face. And she's like, and I'm out of here.
Paul
so
Allen's
she
apartment is apparently a maze.
So then she goes to a closet and there's ladies in plastic bags. They are clearly not alive anymore.
More dead people. This apartment is just a...
So let me ask this question. They're looking for Paul Allen. The policeman's looking for him. Has he not been in Paul Allen's apartment?
Apparently not.
Because Paul Allen's apartment is full of evidence.
Because Paul Allen was...
There's dead ladies everywhere.
In London.
So he bites her leg. She kicks him in the face. And he's mad
upset.
Because she kicked him in the face. Yeah, he's like... very protective of his face.
That's his moneymaker.
So she's running down the hall and banging on doors. No one's opening their door.
No, because...
Where are these people?
They're in an upscale building and no one cares.
But she's pretty hysterical.
Yeah, but they're all like, oh, that's some crazy person down the hall. I ain't opening the door. Fuck that.
I guess, what if she's the killer, I guess? So now Christian Bale is running around naked with white sneakers on, covered in blood, and a chainsaw.
And here is the luckiest shot in the history of film. He drops the chainsaw down a stairwell and it lands on his intended target.
That is some patience right there.
Yep. He's just like, and there it goes. Do chainsaws continue to run when you let go of them?
I didn't think so. But I gotta think it's still pretty sharp.
It's probably like a lawnmower where you have to hold the thing down, right?
I think so.
Apparently not, because it landed on her and cut her right open. Here he is drawing.
He's got like
what he
crayons
just
or coal pencils or something.
On a menu. A tablecloth, sorry.
And Evelyn's all like, I see you drawing that naked dead lady, but I want you to marry me.
Look, we can talk about the dead ladies and the murders, but if you don't marry me, I will not be able to even.
I can't even right now with you drawing this lady while we're sitting here with plastic plates that have powdered sugar forks on them.
And he's like, you know what, Evelyn, I can't even with this relationship. I'm done. Get out.
I can't even. No, I can't even.
No, I can't even.
No, I can't even.
No, I can't even.
No, I can't even.
No, I can't even. No, I can't even infinity. Triple stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Evelyn. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. I'm done. Get out.
This went way further than I expected it to.
Your friends are my friends, and you can have them. You can have them. I don't care. I would probably kill them anyway.
And Evelyn's all, wait, you're serious that you can't even?
I was just bluffing when I said I can't even.
And Evelyn's making a scene in the restaurant.
And then he has one of the greatest cold-ass lines ever. You're not terribly important to me. And Patrick is off wandering the streets of New York to do no good. He's getting some money at the ATM. The ATM is about to yell at him.
Because that's what ATMs do. That's why I don't go to the ATM anymore.
It's kind of funny. When I go to the ATM and it yells at me, it's usually about how I don't have enough cash, not about how it wants me to murder a kitten.
It's like, you want money? You need money before I can give you money.
You want money? Justin B. Shoop. And now he's going to try to kill a cat. And that's just rude. Kitties are so cute. And the woman says, no. And some weird part of my brain is like, oh, thank God he didn't kill the cat.
Wow. He shoots the lady. And therefore, Justin is happy that the cat has survived.
Crisis averted.
So the policeman comes and the thing goes off. And have we decided that it's possible that he's imagining this?
That's obviously a possibility, but I don't think that's what happens. I think he just gets super lucky. Because, again, it's a situation where, like, he's this clean-cut Wall Street type, and he couldn't possibly be a murderer.
Except that he shoots at the policeman and then he runs away again?
No, he blows up their car.
Wow, he's a really good shot.
Yes, and then he looks at his gun and he's like, what, did I do that? And it's all about how, like, how did I just get away with this? This is fucked up. And that leads to him running to his building and calling his lawyer. And then he realizes he's in the wrong building and the security guard confused him with someone else. So...
is burning the midnight oil, Mr. Smith?
Dead security guard. Oh shit, the cleaning guy just saw me. Bang. Here's my building. Here it is. Whew. So here he is calling his lawyer, confessing all of it.
I think you should know I've killed a lot of people. So he's like, he's literally leaving a laundry list of all the people he's killed. 5 or 10 homeless people, some NYU girl, I left her in a parking lot.
Some guy with a dog. I killed Paul Allen. His body is in a bathtub in Hell's Kitchen. Killed 20 people, maybe 40. About 80. Wow. Seems high. Maybe overshot it with the 80. Killed a few candy bars. Some plants. Maybe 4.
I ate some of their brains. Ew. So he's like, just an absolute maniac confessing. He's sweating. He's laughing. He's crying. He's shaking. He's angry. It's insane.
Guess I'm
pretty... And it's all like tight close up on his face. It's amazing.
I mean, this clip alone should have won him an Oscar. But he was ignored completely.
Okay, Rain Man, who was nominated and won instead?
You want to know who won the Oscar this year? Fucking Russell Crowe for The Gladiator.
Oh, Jesus.
A role literally anyone could have played who had a decent physique. Hmm. Russell Crowe's performance in that movie was so not noteworthy.
I literally never finished that movie. I fell asleep in the theater.
I saw it when it came out, and I was like, okay, that was a good popcorn movie. And then it was nominated for every award, and I was like, are you shitting me?
So he wakes up the next morning and they're showing this sky that is literally the same color as the inside of his apartment. It's like this white gray sky, like that rainy, cloudy, white gray sky.
It's symbolic, like today is his day.
Yeah.
Where he gets away with all of it.
So he's, you know, he takes a shower and now he's standing there in his hot body, picking out his suit.
Bruce Wayne's about to put on his suit.
And
he should have used the Batman voice in this movie because it would have been appropriate. What are you doing? Running away.
That's a nice business card.
I have a chainsaw. Stand still. I'm going to drop it on you.
So he puts on a mask.
He's going to Paul Allen's apartment to go clean up the evidence. And then he opens the door and, uh-oh, someone's already done it for him.
See, this is why
shit.
I don't get it. So he walks in.
He walks in. All the walls are clean. They're painted white.
Yeah, they're like repainted and everything. And the apartment is being shown to somebody.
Yep.
And he's still standing there in a mask, like nobody thinks that's weird. No one even notices him.
It's Patrick Bateman, and he's wearing a mask.
But he's not even noticed. And he opens up the closet door. And
it had women hanging in it.
None of the dead ladies are there.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Where's my shit?
It's very symbolic that it's all painted completely white. Yep. The trim's white. The door's white. The walls are white. Everything's white.
What? What happened? She's like, you saw the ad? And he's like, yeah, I saw the ad. She's like, there was no ad. Please leave. So what happened
is... Does she know there's dead ladies?
Yes. The building, or whoever owns the building, had the apartment cleaned out so they could re-rent it. And when some guy came in asking about it, she's like, I just need to rent the place, dude. Get out. I don't want people to know that a bunch of fucking dead people were in this apartment. Because who's going to rent it?
Because money.
exactly. That's all
that matters. He's at a payphone. Remember payphones?
Yep. And now Patrick is having a nervous breakdown because he just got away with killing a shitload of people. And it's almost like he wants to be caught, but no one will catch him because no Wall Street...
They don't
Street,
know who he is.
They don't know who he is, and no Wall Street guy would ever kill anybody. He's so clean cut and white. Just like the walls in Paul Allen's apartment and the sky.
I saw two payphones in South Station the other day. I'm pretty sure
that... He said that like, I saw two payphones. They didn't know I was looking at them. Do the newspapers know that they're there? Guys, there's two payphones in South Station still. So now she's going through his drawers.
Chloe.
His desk drawers.
Chloe Savini.
She finds his journal.
It says P.B. on the front.
And it's full of disgusting graphic drawings of him doing evil things and killing people and fucking corpses and shit. And she's like, what the fuck is my boss doing?
And then she marries him in the sequel?
Evidently. So now Patrick goes to one of their regular hangouts and sees his lawyer. He's like, did you get my message that I killed a bunch of people?
And he's still kind of like sweating and manic.
He's sweating. He wants to be caught, basically, I think. And no one cares. And his lawyer thinks it was all a joke and doesn't even realize it's Patrick Bateman. He calls him Davis. And Patrick's like, no, I'm Patrick. I'm Patrick Bateman. Stop. He says, I chopped Ellen's head off. And then the next shot is his lawyer with only his head visible in the shot.
Well, he's complete because they're showing his reaction.
No, but it's just interesting compositionally. Yeah. Like,
and the lawyer is like
his head's chopped off. It's weird. Mm. And the lawyer's just like, I had dinner with Paul Allen in London, even though Paul Allen was never in London because all these fuckers are the same and they can't even tell each other apart.
He says, I had dinner with Paul Allen twice in London. And Patrick Bateman's like, what?
So at the time that I first saw this, I was like, wait a minute. So did Patrick imagine all this? But I think the point was all these guys are so similar that they can't even tell each other apart. So therefore, no one suspects Patrick of anything.
Because they don't even know
who's
Patrick.
No one even knows Paul Allen's missing because somebody thinks they saw Paul Allen last week, whatever. Right. And like he wants some kind of resolution to all of it, but there is no resolution because no one cares.
So now he just has to live with us for the rest of his life. Nice going, P. Bates.
P. Bates. What would you call Patrick and Jean after they got married as a couple name? Pat G?
Jatrick is not a very good name.
Jatrick.
He's looking around. They're all in their suits and their glasses.
They're all in their suits. No one cares. No one cares about what he's done. No one. There will never be any absolution for him.
No. Like, no one cares that Alan's gone. No one cares that he's saying he did it. He shows up. He's
just his life.
He's just zany Patrick Bateman.
He's a crazy person. He just wants someone to notice that he's a fucking crazy person, but no one ever will.
Well, it's probably why he's crazy, because nothing he does is ever going to make him stand out, because no one stands out.
That's his punishment, I guess.
And then we close up on his eyes, and then the screen goes black, and then Kelly doesn't sleep for a week.
Stash, one of the goth guys, his name is Park Bench. What a bullshit name.
That's his real acting name?
That's his acting name. What an asshole.
Well, we hope you have enjoyed this non-80s movie.
Except it's about the 80s.
It's interesting. We're
stuck. If any movie's ever about the 80s, it's this one.
We're stuck in the 80s, Justin Ballard.
Well, you know, the 80s were quite a decade.
But we took you from comedy to Jesus Christ, this was hardcore.
We took you from comedy to dark comedy.
Yeah. So it's a really good movie. It is...
It's an amazing movie.
A really great Christian Bale role. I still have a very hard time with
it's
it because
Christian
of,
Bale's
you know,
greatest
I'm
role.
A bit of a wimp. But, I mean, I like this movie a lot. I just like seeing Christian Bale in not so scary of a role.
It's I still say it's Christian Bale's finest performance. I don't know that he will ever eclipse Patrick Bateman as his definitive role. He's had many, many great roles ever since, but this was the one that put him on the map, and it's also the one that, for me at least, defines him as an actor. It's incredible.
Hey, look, example. Katrina and the Waves.
Wow, you got that one right.
You make it sound like I'm a fucking idiot.
Dirty Dancing, you got it 1,000% wrong.
I got it 1,000% wrong, except it's one song from 1987. I am really good at this stuff.
A song you love.
Yeah, I know, but it's not like Katrina and the Waves, Justin.
Lady in Red.
Who is my favorite 80s band.
Christopher.
Who I cannot name another song of.
Wait, that's your favorite 80s band?
No.
What the fuck?
No.
What kind of decade did you have?
Listen.
What?
Listen.
Performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra instead of Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston was not having it.
No.
She was like, I ain't doing this shit.
She's like, I'll do it if it includes Bobby Ray, Billy D.
Billy B.
Bobby B.
Bobby B.
Bobby Ray.
Billy Ray. Shoop.
Seriously, the worst impression.
Christian B.
It's the worst impression of a bad impression.
Kelly B. Shoop. Anyway.
The end.
Thank you for watching.
And listening.
We love Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Christian Bale, if you're watching, we love you.
Oh my God.
Please be watching this.
Oh my God.
Wait, please.
Stop.
Christian, please.
Stop.
Please be watching.
Oh.
No?
I think I'm going to file for divorce. It's getting embarrassing.
I'm not terribly important to you. That's the worst thing you could ever say, Christian.
Drink your wine and press stop.
Oh, yeah.